Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation chapter 9. And we're going to be looking at verses 12 through 21 as our text as we continue from where we took up this morning. Now, I told you this morning, put your finger in Revelation chapter 16. I hope it's still there. Because we're going to be getting to it pretty quickly now. But looking at our text, our text is actually covering the sixth trumpet in the tribulation period that will be sounded. And those last three trumpets of the trumpet judgments, each has a woe pronounced with them. And when there's a woe, that means there's going to be a greater catastrophic result than were in the first four. And the first four affected many. I mean, multitudes will die in those first four because it affects earth and water and air and the sea. In the sea, the waters, the sea, the one-third of the fish and the boats there die. In the rivers of waters, the fresh water, waters that we drink, one-third of those are affected. And, of course, many men die from it. And then, of course, the other things that are going on, the changes in the time of day and things of that nature. So we have so many changes going on and a lot of people die, but these are things that affect the earth itself. These last three trumpets are going to affect basically, specifically, people. And so we need to understand that. And the first trumpet was a good example of that, where the locusts come up out of the bottomless pit. And we told you that the locusts, we believe, were created for the hell itself, and it's not their torment. They're used to torment in hell. And so we see that they come up for 5 months. They sting men. They're told, don't eat any green grass or anything else. You just go after these people. And they do that for 5 months. People try to die, and they can't. Try to kill themselves, they can't. And obviously, what a picture, as we said, a vestibule of hell, when men will want to die, will want to cease to exist and cannot. And yet there is the torment that is so great. And so that was this morning that we covered that. By the way, if you missed this morning, if you go to www.sermonaudio.com, then you put that right slash, which is right under the question mark, bottom key down there on the right, and then put Central Baptist, you will go right straight to our website, and it should be up there sometime in the morning, and you can listen to it. And by the way, once you click onto it, that whether you listen to it or not, you can scroll down and see how you can email it if you think that there's someone else you'd like to hear that sermon. So that's where that is. Now, let's read our text, Revelation chapter 9, beginning with verse 12. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000. That's 200 million. And I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them, having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth, and of brimstone. And the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire, and smoke, and brimstone. And by these was the third part of men killed, by the fire, by the smoke, and by the brimstone, which issued out of their mouths. Let me just stop there and say, now, twice in a row here it says, this issued out of their mouths, and it says it again, so there's an emphasis there. Verse 19, for their power is in their mouth and in their tails, for their tails are likened to serpents in their heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their of the works of their hands, that they could not worship or should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which can neither see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, and nor of their thefts. Now shall we pray. Father, I pray now as we continue now from where we left off this morning, I pray that you'd make this so very clear. understandable for everyone, Lord. I just pray that it'll be a big help to each person that is here tonight. And we ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Now, leaving this idea of what hell is going to be like, the vestibule of hell, we go on to verses 14 through 16, and we take up the kings of the east. And this is where we'll be looking at chapter 16. And so we're going to kind of go back and forth here for just a couple minutes on these. But you'll notice that the Euphrates is east of Jerusalem. That is, it's east of Israel. And you'll remember that in the first part of the tribulation, the kings of the north with Iran and all of those are coming down against Israel, and they are soundly defeated. But now here we are in the last 2 years of the tribulation, and the kings of the east are coming. And one of the hindrances will not be Iran, because they've been well defeated. But one of the hindrances will be the Euphrates, and so it needs to be dried up. And a path needs to be made for these kings as they come, the kings of the east. But how do we know that these are the kings of the east? Because that doesn't say that in chapter 9. Well, that's where you go to chapter 16 and verses 12 through 16. It makes it clear. And we see the mention of the Euphrates again. Look in chapter 16 and verse 12. And the sixth angel poured out his vial upon the great river Euphrates, and the water thereof was dried up, that the way of the kings of the east might be prepared. Now here we are, the sixth trumpet. You see that the Euphrates is dried up. The sixth vial of wrath shows an expansion. Okay, it's an expansion here, okay? It's making ready for them to come for this great war that's about to happen, which it will expand upon. And so it is mentioned about the kings of the east right here in verse 12. Now, that ties in again with verse 14 of our text, which says to loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And of course, when you look at that, then you say, well, the four angels of the Euphrates. And then you say, well, how does that tie in? Well, go back to verses 13 and 14 here in chapter 16. And I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, that's Satan, and out of the mouth of the beast, that's the Antichrist, the world leader, and out of the mouth of the false prophet, that's the false religious leader of the one world religion of the last days, the ecumenical religion. For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth into the kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty. Now, just a quick, brief history here. You remember in the book of Peter speaks out there in 2 Peter of the angels, of the fallen angels that were bound, that God goes and preaches to those spirits in prison who deceived before the flood. And so some of those spirits that fell were bound since that. And here's four that may be from that were bound in the river Euphrates. Now, isn't it interesting that ever since then, they're still right now bound in the river Euphrates. But the day's going to come when they're loosed in the tribulation. And I can imagine if you've been there that long, you would want to dry it up. Okay. I mean, they've been bound there for those all these years, these thousands of years since then. And so there they are. And then these unclean spirits, again, demonic spirits, come out of the mouth of the Satan, out of the Antichrist, out of the false prophet. And as spirits, these go and they make men of the world, these various kings and various leaders of nations around the world, say, wow, we've got to do something to protect ourselves. We've got to do something or we're going to be in deep trouble. And so they're going, and they deceive them into going, because that's what the devil does. He loves to deceive. And so he deceives them into going. And so he releases them. And that's what our text talks about in verse 15, that they are loose and they're prepared for an hour and a month and a day and a year to slay the third part of men, this army that's going to march. And so we see how it ties in here with chapter 16, where it expands it. Just understand that Satan is a destroyer. Satan brings death. Isn't it interesting that when you have natural disasters, like we just had the Nepal one here, and people say, well, why would God do that? Why would God allow that? God could have prevented that. People get mad at God. Isn't it interesting? Man wants his free will, but man does not want the consequences of his free will. And so you see that going on. Satan, on the other hand, he is a power of the air. So he can cause things that happen here on earth, weather and otherwise. He is a power of the air. He has that ability. Now, I find it interesting that he is the power of the air, because we've proven that and reproven it over and over in the last 2 years with our radio station. Boy, I tell you what, he's got in the works, and Brother Mark and I was just talking about that this past week. Well, we know Satan is the power of the air, because he gets in there and he's messing things up that there was no reason for those things to mess up. And so we know that he's at work doing these things. But whereas chapter 9 does not name the kings of the east, it does give us an idea of the army of 200,000 or 200 million. Now, China, they say, could bring together an army of 200 million right now. But if they did, they would be defenseless if they marched anywhere. They'd leave the country defenseless. And so there's a coalition formed there, and you've got to keep that in mind. Also understand that this is now entering in the fifth year at least of the tribulation, so many have died around the world that they may not be able to field an army of 200 million at that time. And so, again, that's looking ahead there and seeing what's going on there. Then you'll notice in chapter 16, verse 16, and he gathered them together into a place called in the Hebrew tongue Armageddon. Now, one of the things those have gone with us to Israel, that one of the things that we get to do is we stand on the mountain, we're able to look down into that valley of Armageddon. It's a wide, very fertile valley. I mean, you could understand why people would want that valley. It's very fertile there. And that's where the blood will flow to the horse's bridle at the conclusion of the tribulation. As a matter of fact, you see that in Revelation 14, verses 19 and 20. And the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden without the city, and blood came out of the winepress even unto the horse's bridle by the space of 1,600 furlongs. That has been estimated anywhere from 160 to 200 miles, by the way. And that's, you know, whether you go east to west or north to south, right now that is longer than what the miles, that's more miles than what Israel occupies today, just to kind of give you an idea of what's going on over there and the hate that is there towards them. Now, you'll notice in verses 18 and 19 of our text, he says, by these three were the third part of men killed, by the fire, and by the smoke, and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. Now, don't forget, verse 17, last part, said that same thing basically about the things that issued out of their mouth with the fire and the brimstone. What you have to understand about that is this. The Holy Spirit is giving John a vision of these things. The Holy Spirit will also give him every word. Now, until this last 100 years, nobody would have understood the words. But what you do see there then is picture language being used. And so fire and smoke and brimstone. Why would they use brimstone? Because he's seeing the fire, the smoke, and of course when we see rockets and missiles and guns and bazookas and so forth and all the other weapons they have to shoot, okay? When those things are going off, even the Russians had the backfire jets and others as well. So when those things are happening, there's fire, there's smoke, and it's causing great amount of death. What's the brimstone? Well, they didn't have the wherewithal to describe a rocket. But when they saw the damage that it did, brimstone was the best thing that they would use that would help people to realize this is death, because people understood in that day hell was a place of fire and smoke and brimstone. Okay, so that would really drive it home to these people, and that they would help them to understand what's going on here. And so that's what they say. Now, it's interesting that one third of the men in that 1040 window, which we talk about, that they travel, which most of the world's population resides in the 1040 window today. The majority of Earth's 7 billion people reside in the 1040 window. And so as they're going through, they're doing great destruction, and they kill over one third in that window. Now, I think it's interesting. You know, ISIS just released a video last week in which they had 30 Ethiopian Christians. Now, I don't know the background of them, okay? I mean, I don't know the background of those people, but I will say this for them. 15 were shot, 15 were beheaded. And they were told to convert or die, and they died for their faith. They died for their faith. But it's interesting also that in that same video, ISIS said that every Christian in the world will be forced to make that choice of either convert or pay a tax. I find that interesting. Pay a tax. That's still the thing with them. Convert, pay a tax, or die. And really, we need to ask ourselves, do we just say we love God? But what if we're brought to that point ourselves? Now, we had tonight mentioned about homosexuality. And listen, it happens to be my view that it is a filthy, rotten sin. But whether it's my view or not, the Bible teaches that. So when I'm up here preaching and teaching, I'm telling you what the Bible says, God's view. Okay? Now, I could be totally against it and be up here teaching what God's view is. Okay? Either way that it stands, if I'm teaching what God's view is, why is it they say it's all right to teach some of these things because it's not the people's view themselves, but they're teaching a philosophy? But it's not all right for the Christian to teach God's view. You ever wonder about that? But going on, that may be some of the things that we'll have to pay the price for when the time comes. And so the important thing is that we'd be willing to pay the price, whatever that price may be. Now, all this destruction happens in 1 year, 1 month, 1 hour, and 1 day. And this is actually, we talk about it ends in the Battle of Armageddon. But understand, Armageddon is really a campaign. Now, that valley is called Megiddo, and that's Armageddon. And they march in there. All the armies of the world are converging in that one place. But it's really a campaign that we know goes for at least 1 year, 1 month, 1 day, 1 hour at the end of the tribulation. And so, seeing this is the teaching of the text, let's go on at the direction that we see today. Now, having seen these teachings of what will happen in the tribulation, if we're saved, you're not going to be here for it. That's what's the great thing about it. But this is what's going to happen, and are there things that correlate to that? Recently, Australia and Japan are considering joining the China-led Infrastructure Investment Bank. And that was reported by Stratfor, a very reputable news organization that ABC, CBS, Fox, CNN, all of them use much of their reporting from around the world. And they go on there because it's a geopolitical thing. But they met there with them for this. And the Japanese finance minister and the Australian cabinet are meeting in their countries to determine just how much they want to participate with that. Now, I think it's interesting as well. Australia last month, now this doesn't get reported over here because they don't want this to be reported that much. Now, Some people know it. Some people know it. But what they don't realize is that all across last month, the nation of Australia was everywhere. A lot of anti-Islamic demonstrations. I wonder if terror hits America, if we'll act, if we'll go into a Maccabean type of result in America. And the Maccabees, you know, back about 150 years before Christ, Antiochus was in there causing great destruction. He set up a pig in the temple and so forth. And so, since those that should be in charge weren't doing anything, the Maccabeans got together and they did something about it. They did something about it, and it's a thing of history, but I wonder if that same thing will happen in America, where America's finally going to get tired of it. With all the cell groups that are now in America, you even have it here in this county, they're going to get tired of it and do something about it. And that will be a interesting when they come to their convert or perish ultimatums that they give. I think that you can see that in some European nations. Matter of fact, remember the Antichrist has 10 nations? And the European Union, my goodness, it has 20 some odd nations. Well, most of them are pacifist. But evidently, there's going to be about 10 nations that get tired of it. And they're going to do something about it. And so you see that coming together at that time. And things are beginning to happen. Now, you may not think that people are losing faith in the American dollar. But it is having its birth pangs right now. And it's amazing that they'd even consider this. I don't expect people to leave the dollar yet, but already some countries are using gold to make their purchases. Now, you may not be aware, but China and other Far Eastern governments have been having their own economic summits for several years. Now, liberal and socialistic liberals want America to be a world power, don't want America to be a world power. Because of its wealth. Because of our wealth. You see, a one world government wants an America that's not prosperous so that it can be equal all across the world. We're prosperous and they're not. And so, really, they work against people that work hard and earn their money. They're against that. So that it can be equal around the world. Okay? And that's the idea of the difference between socialism and capitalism. I'm not here preaching that tonight, but you can see how it works for the end times coming together. And it works that way. And I just thought I'd point that out. Now remember that in the tribulation that the Antichrist sets up a covenant with Israel for 7 years and he breaks it in the middle. Now, there are a lot of Jews that will stick with the Antichrist, but there are other Jews that have converted during the tribulation, at least 144,000 of them, that are going to have to flee. They're going to have to flee, and God will protect them, but they're going to have to flee. But right now, there are a lot of countries that depend in the European areas for Russia for natural gas and some Mideast Muslim countries for oil. Well, Israel of recent years have discovered vast amounts of natural gas and oil. Precious jewels they're finding in their ground, the gold and the other metals, precious metals, they're finding them now. So I find that it's very interesting that these 10 nations could turn to them. Russia, as you know, sending S-300 missiles to Iran. What people don't know is that Israel is developing weaponry to, and has it really, to combat that. Okay, and so I think that it's interesting that they're doing that. But with the defeat of the Psalm 83 war and the Muslim countries that immediately surround Israel, we begin to see the picture that is before us. Some of those countries are still standing, but they're not as strong. You see, Russia wants to ultimately redesign the Middle East so it'll fit Russia's best interest. That's why it intensifies its activities in places like Turkey, Iran, Egypt, Jordan, and of course the Iraq-Iran area. And of course, as America backs out more and more and takes their hands off things and doesn't want to help Israel or anybody else, we see more of that. And so what Russia's doing is they're trying to stop the spread of Sunni fundamentalism crossing their borders. That's what it comes down to. Their southern borders are trying to stop that. And so they're pouring more help into those areas. Russia perceives that Iran is the most powerful country in the Middle East outside of Israel. So they want to redesign the Middle East so that Iran is the superpower. That's why they, as Persia, that Iran-Iraq area, goes with Russia at the first part of the tribulation and marches there against them. This would be something that would try to settle the problems that you have going on right now with Gaza and Hamas and Lebanon and the ISIS areas. This would settle those problems, what they're trying to do. I think it's interesting. Iran, they're the Shiite people. Hamas, they're Sunni people. They hate each other, but Iran gives all kind of weaponry to Hamas to try to kill Israel. Isn't that interesting? But that's what's going on around the world today, and they're doing all they can to try to destroy things, and Russia has its hand right in there. And that's what I just wanted you to see, is their hand is there. Now, because of the fear of Iran, Arutz News in Israel, which is somewhat like Fox News here, and Channel 2, which would probably be more along CNN's level, report that Saudi Arabia is willing to allow Israel to fly over their space to knock out Iranian nuclear weapons. Now, it's interesting, the first Gulf War, Saudi Arabia allowed Israel to fly over their airspace when there was Iraq with Kuwait being threatened. But once they were able to take care of that, and Israel stood in and did their part, and everything was now settled, then all of a sudden, all the happy they had with Israel was gone. Okay, now they're ready to be happy with again because they're scared of what Iran will do to them. And so they're making these things, and this is, again, works of Russia trying to get in there, as these kings of the East are also included here, and I'll see it. Let you see here in a few minutes how that goes about. Europe is less threatened by Israel. With the Antichrist possibly being a Jew, as I said, according to Genesis chapter 49, I believe that he's of the tribe of Dan. Dan first brought idolatry into Israel. And then we see also that it is there that this guy comes out of, and the Jews will accept him as a world leader and trust him. And then he is able, about 3.5 years into the tribulation, to set up himself as a world ruler, which will affect those kings of the East. Now, understand that many of the Jews that are in America today are against Israel. For example, J Street and others. They're against Israel here. So this 10-nation coalition comes in because they're tired of all this stuff that's going on with the Muslims. And so they go ahead and they take a stand. Now, you say, well, what about America? What will America say? Well, to me, I find it's interesting that in the last war of Hamas in Gaza against the United States, we held back missiles that we sell to them during the war to Israel to make it harder on them. Breitbart News reports the present American administration in November of 2014 did not reset the old Emergency Oil Act with Israel. Now, President Ford set up that act, and that act said that in time of war, they would supply Israel with oil if it became an emergency. They've never needed it. They've never needed it. In 1994, President Clinton extended that another 10 years. In 2004, President Bush extended that another 10 years. 2014, they cut it off. Now, why would they do that? Why would they do and just obviously offend them? We've threatened them in the UN and want to eliminate the ability for them to defend themselves. And we want them to give their land away. Back over the years in the 90s and again in the early 2000s, Israel had the chance to make pacts with China, and America put the pressure on, no, don't make any pacts with them. In the last month, there were those that said, we're going to make an attack on Israel, a cyber attack. They didn't do a thing. We know through our own internet, China blocks us. Now, I'm talking about our program. One time we were getting 800 to 1,000 downloads in China, and it cut off just like that. And they cut us off. They surf it and so forth and make sure that they cut us off and keep us from getting in. But it's interesting that China buys technology from Israel because they're better. That just amazes me. And so they do that. And they work at that. And so that's what's going on with China. Now, as we withdraw from Israel and do the things that we're doing, and they're losing their trust for us, then we can see that with the gain of oil, natural gas, precious metals, and other things, these kings of the East turning more to Israel to get these things. And so, the desert is blossoming again. It's the last days. And we can see how Islam is trying to surround Israel and give its problem. But it's not only Israel. They affect these other Eastern nations, and they're getting tired of it. We've seen things in the Philippines. We've seen things in other areas. The technology of Israel is so great, and they're marketing to China. We can see things coming up in the fields of science and technology. And so they begin to get closer and closer. And that's why I say I think there's a problem here that our country goes away from. And I think America is going to be somewhat of a Monroe Doctrine type of a thing where, hey, we're going to stay over here and leave everybody alone. The libertarian attitude. Now, people say, well, libertarians, that sounds like a good thing to me. And there's some good aspects. I mean, there's some good aspects to them. But not when you say, well, look, we go along with homosexual marriage. We go along with abortion. It's just that you pay for anything you do. We're not paying for it. You've got liberty. You've got freedom. We're not going to help Israel or anybody else unless it makes money for us. That's the libertarian attitude. Okay. Morals are out the window. That's libertarianism. And so they're very secular in governing, although they can be Christian personally. Its government is outside of their Christian life. And listen, our Christian life ought to affect all areas of which we live. Libertarianism says just protect the country and protect your citizens. Well, that is right. That's the first step. Protect your country, protect your citizens. But do not protect immorality and evil. Now you see why China and the nations of the East are marching towards Israel in the second half, because now the Antichrist has moved in. He's going to take over, and here's the world economy and everything else coming into him, and he controls all the world to do this. So yes, these nations are marching towards Israel. Israel and those Jews that stayed with the Antichrist are going to feel the brunt of it. But it's not so much they're marching against Israel as they're marching against the Antichrist when they're coming towards him. And they're destroying all these along the way as they march towards Israel. And they destroy many of their enemies are the Islamics. And the Islamics that are along that pathway, and that's where a lot of them are. And they're being put to death as they make this march. Now, these kings of the East, we have missionaries in many of these places, but they are not Christian nations, and especially once the tribulation is here. But as they all gather there to the Valley of Armageddon, the armies of the world are there, then Christ comes back. Then he will soundly defeat the armies of the world, and he'll judge the nations as revealed in Matthew chapter 25. The Antichrist and the false prophet are the first ones cast into the eternal lake of fire 1,000 years before anybody else will be cast there. And God stands up for Israel. And he gives Israel the land much more than they've ever had at any time in history. And that'll be interesting. Now you consider verses 20 and 21 of our text. And the rest of the men which were not killed by the plagues yet repented not of their works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor their sorceries, nor their fornication, nor their thefts. Now, man is here, and these great conditions, these terrible conditions are going on. They know that God is pouring out his wrath on man, and there is a great woe. There is worldwide mourning and pain. And these men did not die in that. They've been spared by the grace of God, and they've been given a chance to repent, but they do not do it. Now, you think of that. To see that God said what was going to happen, and it happens, and they still do not repent. And perhaps this is the futility with which Noah dealt with in his day when he said it's going to flood. Only there was nothing previous for the people to see as it is in the tribulation. And people would not repent. And when the rains came, it was too late. In verse 20, they won't change from their gods they made, their hands have made, and that includes their philosophies. They will not repent and turn towards the true God who created all. They corrupt religion. They reject God. Verse 21 speaks of their murders. That's cold blood murder, which will take place in that day. You talk about crime wave, lawlessness, there'll be much of that in that day. Just like today, you have euthanasia growing as well as abortion. And those are cold blooded murders, whether people admit it or not. That's what they are according to the Word of God. And those who would not receive the mark. Now, maybe these are tolerant, loving people until they get to us. Allow everything except Christianity. And as Brother Osborne pointed out so well, they don't want to go outside these walls. We pointed that out 3 and 4 years ago, that they're saying very often, freedom of worship, not freedom of religion. Keep your worship inside the four walls. And now we see it coming to pass before us. What we were telling you about was going to the end result of that. Oh, yes, tolerant and loving people. But then John 16:2 says, yea, the time will come that whosoever killeth you will think that he does God's service. And I'm afraid that that's the direction it's going. Sorceries, that's the use of drugs and black magic. And now you have the video games and the movies. You know, Star Wars years ago, people said how bad and how terrible that was. Now they laugh about it. That's nothing. is nothing compared to what they have now. Fornication is from the Greek word pornea. We get our word pornography from it, but it's a general term for sexual sins of any kind. By the way, sex outside of the marriage bed is always wrong, no matter what kind it is. It's always evil. It's always sin. And it's plural. It keeps going on regardless. It says thefts. And that's just what it means, thefts. It's the day of lawlessness, as the Bible lets us know. And they do not repent. They will not let God cleanse them by His shed blood. And so, we're told there, they did not repent of any of these things. Now, let me just give you one final warning here. If you'll notice how, over the last few years, the Rick Warrens and the new evangelicals and others of that stripe, the contemporary, have all of a sudden gone from saying we're against homosexual marriage to saying, well, you know what? They're born that way. Now, you know what? I could put a wrench into their works. I could say, can you prove by medical tests, just like they prove on babies before they're born, whether they're going to have handicaps and other things before they're born? They say that by these tests they can do that. Can you prove by those tests they may be homosexual? If so, we will go ahead and abort any baby that might be a homosexual. Don't you think they'd have problems with that? You see, when you put their own thing against them, then they're against it. But actually, if they're going to stay true to their argument, then that's what they have to say. Oh yeah, that's all right. And, of course, it's not all right with us, of course, and it's not all right with them. But now, these groups are going along with it. Homosexual marriage is the next thing on the agenda that will be okayed in these groups. And they'll want to close down our churches if we won't do it. And if we have to go underground, we'll go underground, but we're not going to do it. But if you drink the Kool-Aid of the contemporary worship and you drink the Kool-Aid of their compromise, these are the things that are going to happen. And it will come in as well. That's why we must follow 1 Corinthians 15:58, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Yes, you may suffer. Yes, you may go through trials. Yes, you may go through tribulations. But you stay true to the Lord. And He will stand when the enemy comes in like a flood. He'll lift up a standard against them. Now, my friend, what you have to decide right now is, am I on the Lord's side? And if we're on the Lord's side, let's remember, we're in the Lord's army. We're not secret agents. We're not double agents. We're soldiers. Soldiers have uniforms. Our uniform is to put on the new man and proclaim our Christ. Where are we going to stand? Let's bow our heads, please. Father, I pray that as we get ready to have this hymn 484, who is on the Lord's side, I pray, Lord, that You would just move in a special way as You have spoken to hearts. Lord, I can't direct them, but You can. And Lord, I pray that if there are decisions to be made, they'll be made at this altar. And then on the other hand, Lord, there are those that are not saved, that they'd come and receive Christ as their Savior. Lord, I pray that You'd make us determined and aware that the battle is against us, but the battle is the Lord's, and so let's be on the Lord's side. Help us to stand. Having done all to stand, help us to stand, therefore. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.